see a little bit deeper in the statement is the intent of these little visits.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Whenever you're ready, it's your floor.
I tell you what, as I look around, Chris, you're not mad at me. I'm sorry I was running late. Chris said, stop talking and get down here. Nice looking class. I asked Sheila, I said, have you heard from the Lyft class? Because I would search my emails. I said, I didn't get any questions. And then here comes Jimmy and said, you still on? I said, I guess so. So here we go. And I promise to watch the time. Personal history, just really brief. Born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Grew up in East Nashville. Yes, I love. Went to Maplewood High School. First one out of eight kids to graduate from college. I graduated in 1980. And then I worked at Vanderbilt for about 7.5 years. And I found out they had a benefit because my mom and my grandmother combined worked at Vanderbilt close to 80, 90 years. They had a benefit that if you applied to go to Vanderbilt and you got denied, they would pay your tuition anywhere in the country. So I immediately saw that benefit and I said, they'll never let me in Vanderbilt, sign me up. And of course, I got denied, and one of my mentors is Joel Warren, who went to Northside Church of Christ. He always taught me about furthering my education, and so I went to Lipscomb, graduated in 95, and I never forget, I was one of maybe four or five black people in that class. And I was looking around and I said, if somebody pulled me out of this line, they're going to get cut. And I graduated and that's that. Yeah, that's it. Right. Story behind my marriage. April went to Hillsborough High School and we used to go skating at Rivergate Skating Rink and we would go to Charlotte every Sunday. And one Sunday, me and my friend, his name was Bubba. His name was William, but we called him Bubba. He knew April, and I saw her skating around. Y'all remember Dukes of Hazzard? Yeah. Remember the Daisy Duke?
Yeah.
She had on some short jean cut Daisy Dukes, and I did one of them numbers. I said, Bubba, who's that? I said, I need that girl right there. And she didn't like me, and none of her friends liked me, but I kept, you know, chasing after. And then we were at a party or something, and I asked her to dance. And then I sung a rendition of Luther Vandross, and she went, ooh. But we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. 40 years, yeah, yep.
Can you skate backwards?
I can.
You did? You was one of those dancers.
I asked her to teach me how to skate backwards. That was how I broke the ice. Nice question.
Hey, I can ask you this. Did you already know how to skate backwards when you asked her to teach you?
Yes. Joey. All right, let's see here. Tell us about Steve. I've got three sons, Steve Jr., Brandon, and Adam. And it's been a journey. Adam struggled with addiction for years. And then we received a miracle from him. And Adam not only got clean, but he's now counseling other addicts in Kentucky. Brandon, my middle son, he's a musician. He's possibly maybe getting ready to get signed. How lovely. And his musician named Jeff Sweet. Darlene in here? I know you have musicians. His musician name is Johnny P, if you want to look him up. He's a crooner. And then Stevie, he's my oldest son, and he just, you know, got lost a little bit. Him and Latoya had their own struggles. I won't get into specifics. And so we've had our grandkids. We've got three. Well, we've got six, but the three we had from Stevie and Latoya was Olivia, Haley, and Trey. Trey is Stephen Eugene Smith III. And we've had them about a year, and it's been some peaks and valleys. You know, we had an empty nest. When you go from an empty nest then to having three kids again, it's kind of tough, but God has provided the entire way. And I'm going to tell you, it's been some people. This is one of the questions is why I stayed, why we stayed. I'm going to kind of get ahead of it. Is the fact that as tough as this job is of being a shepherd, it's tough. It's the people here that I love so many times. Is Sheila in here? Sheila has been waiting at that door and said, here, somebody anonymously wants to give you this. And it would just be a monetary gift that would just be so on time, because when we got them, they didn't have anything, no, nothing. So we've provided everything for them. And so now they're getting ready to just regroup and do a do-over. But we've all been talking and you know, I told Troy, I said, if you try this and it spirals out, you call me and I will be on the plane to come get you. So he has that. My elder opportunity came about if I could kick him in the shin, I would, but he's gone on to glory. Pat Birch. I volunteered at Inner City for how long were we at Inner City, April? And this is what frustrates me too about a shepherd. It appears now, Jimmy, that it to get anybody to do anything in the church, they got to be on the payroll. I preached, I led singing. I was the worship pastor at Inner City. I taught classes, I drove buses, I still have my CDL, and didn't get a dime. So after doing that for about a decade or so, I just was tired, and my plan was to just come to Madison and find me a pew and rest. But I want you to know, family, God got jokes. Because it wasn't 6 months till here come Pat Birch. We want you to be a shepherd, huh? No. Couple of weeks passed. We're considering you as shepherd. No, Pat, get away from me. Third time. This is why to ask prospective shepherds to read John 21. He said, I want you to read John chapter 21. And I went home and read it. And you know when Peter's reinstated, Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So I read that and it just was reverberated in my spirit. I said, fine. Now, we're family. I'm just being real with you. This is a predominantly white congregation. At that time, the only other black person was here was Sister Ollie. And she was once deemed by Ray Walker, the church token black, when he said that. I went, oh, that's interesting. I said, God, when I get up here and they you know, you present as shepherd, and then you got 2 weeks before people respond. I said, when I get all these letters, then will you be happy? This conversation I had, I ain't get one letter, and I still been saying, can I go now? And I take that calling by God seriously. And so I feel like I've been called to this role. And that's how that came about. That decision has impacted me tremendously. It's just grown me spiritually mature. I never thought that and at one time I was skinny when I was 20-something in East Nashville, had a big afro, 162 pounds. I said, how did I end up here? And you just don't know where God is going to put you. You know, I'm marrying a couple, Lindsay. I don't know if you guys remember Lindsay Bourne. She's getting married to a very well-off individual. And we were rehearsing the other night. And I asked him, I said, out of all the people, this guy has such influence. I mean, I Googled him and I said, why am I in front of you guys? He said, this woman right here thinks so much of you. That's why you're here. And it impacted me because I already loved people. Mm-hmm. But people don't have to do anything for you. People don't have to do nothing for you, but the reciprocation of the love that we have one another, even with the differences that we have, whether it be cultural, social, economics, even political, we just have a love here, and it allows me not only to shepherd internally, but I shepherd at work. They call, I work for NHC Home Health. Steve Flatt, you remember him? He's my boss. They call me Pastor Steve at work. So, all right, we're moving right along. Good time. It has impacted my family. I couldn't do any of this without this woman right here. That Friday night when we went to do this rehearsal, we left about 5:30. We didn't get home till almost 11, and I wanted her to go with me. But it's things like this. A couple weeks ago, I did 4 funerals in 1 week. I'm constantly gone, and she's constantly there with the kids. And then she'll say, well, how did it go? And she allows me to serve the kingdom like that. And then when she has the opportunity, she comes with me. She said, I'm so glad I came with you because you would have been gone all evening and I just would have been here. And so we get to serve together. And now my kids, my sons that are all grown, they're my Stevie, my firstborn, he told us the other night, he said, Daddy, because we wonder how we just got here. He said, Daddy, I just wanted to be like you without putting in the work. And one thing April always says is you can't cheat life. So you got to put in the work. How has that decision, oh, boy.
Oh, come on.
Can I skip that one?
No, read the question.
Okay. How has that decision impacted your perception of corporate worship? Skip, what is the most enjoyable aspect of
Well, and again, the reason I put that question on there is so much information and so many opinions about worship.
Yes.
So you probably went into this elder gig, and then now, years later, you have heard 107,000 different opinions of how we need to sing, clap, don't clap, this, that. So now, sitting where you are, is your perception of corporate worship, is it a little bit different than when you slid in, if that makes sense? And if so, why?
You put that so eloquent.
Right.
He's good.
So that was kind of my intention.
That is so clear.
And you don't have to take a super deep dive. You know, Jimmy thinks this, so-and-so thinks that, but did it change?
This one question frustrates me. It frustrates me to no end. This question, because I feel we don't have the capacity within our theology and doctrine of COC to worship in freedom. We are too strict and bound.
Right.
So my perception is, it frustrates me because I have people come up to me and say, I didn't hear you say amen this morning. And I go, well, why didn't you? Am I the designated amener? Huh? When we really reflect on what Christ has done for us, what he's brought me out of, when I look at John chapter 19, verse 25, and standing there at the foot of the cross, I see three women and one man. Where are all the men at? Now, I'm not proposing female elders or preachers. I know the qualifications of a deacon and an elder that it talks about in Timothy. But when I hear a Lynn Prosser pray in our midweek class, it'll make you weep. Where we just can't lift up holy hands and say amen and worship, and I know this is go against a lot of our theology. But if we really want people to come, shouldn't we lessen the restrictions of people to come and serve and participate in our work? That 1 hour on Sunday morning is not the only time we worship. We worship 24/7, 7 days a week. And I guarantee you, it's some women in this room that are singing, lifting holy hands, praying. I love to hear Darlene sing soprano. So, you know, sometimes as a shepherd, we get in our meetings and I just remain silent because I do not ever want to be the reason for disunity and division. So April and I, we're ex-Baptists, so we conform every week in our worship preference. But we do that because we love the Trinity and we love this family. The most enjoyable aspect of this position is sounds sad, hospital visits. I stay in the hospital. During the COVID, April will tell you, I was up on people thought I was crazy, and I didn't care. I watched, I mentioned Joel Warren, where his ex-wife was Gwen. She was like my mom. I watched her die and then did her funeral. I was going on COVID wards when they were off limits. I'd push the button and I would say, clergy visit. They said, come on in. Prison ministry. I did that for about 20 years till the inmates got so corrupt and mean. The last time I went, an inmate cussed God out and cussed me out. He said, if you heard some things he said about God, at that point I knew I was facing a demonic force. And I prayed to God, God, what am I going to do? And then that's when the pandemic hit, and I never went back. Hospital visits, sad to say, I don't call them funerals. They're home-going celebrations. I marry lots of people. People don't realize I work full-time. And people call me all the time in April and be like, don't they know you work? I'm driving, talking to church folk. Can you do this? Can you do this? I finally had to get to the point where I, Sheila, once again, I'm sorry. I said, will you call the church office? Talk to Sheila. I can't do it all. But that's the part I love, the challenging aspect. I don't think I should answer this one. Let me think about it. I'll come back. Why have you and your family stayed in Madison? Because we love God. We love you. And until God calls me, he called me here, didn't he? This woman right here said, you need to make a decision. I never, like I said, I was once the family buffoon. And everything overnight transitioned. Mama says, you know you're the spiritual leader of this family. So when I left inner city, I couldn't decide between Donaldson, because Frank Batson and Judy Batson are friends of ours. They built our home, which we love. And we love their life groups. They got good life groups. These are life group restructurers. Oh my gosh, you better bring your Bibles. Woo! You better bring your Bibles. That's awesome. But she said, you better make a decision. And God said, Madison. And been here ever since. The split, seriously, almost gave me a nervous breakdown. It did. It some of the things that people said, Jimmy, I was a novice. I was naive. I didn't know church politics existed. Right. But, man, some of the people, Cheryl, the one dude said something to me so mean. I literally almost had a nervous breakdown. I told her, I said, once again, God got jokes during that time. I couldn't take it no more. I went to Mount Zion down here on Old Hickory. I said, I'm going to Mount Zion today. I went and sat. That church is huge. I went and sat in the very back and just did this. I said, I'm going to join Mount Zion. She said, no, you ain't. You are held at Madison. You can't do that. I said, them people just, they messed up. So I'm sitting there minding my own business. Ain't never been there before. Here come Bishop Walker. I said, is he coming over here? I said, God, will you stop? Came straight to me. How you doing, sir? Who are you? Thank you for being here. I can't even run to Mount Zion. Good Lord. So God just got me through that. I just never thought that we could be family like we were. and people could just up and leave and not say bye, see you later. Just, that's just, how can you do that? But they did. Pull a character or story out of Scripture to help us understand your particular role in the eldership. Well, I like to pattern myself after my man Stephen getting stoned, even though he spelled his name with a P-H. I just love people. So, Barnabas. Yeah, there we go. I've been called that several times. I just love people. I love to encourage people. I love to see people succeed. I can't help but put Teresa and Ricky on spot. We had a dinner with them a couple weeks ago. And I ain't gonna put your business out there, but I'm just happy for them. They are so blessed. And I just like that because it encourages me, and they're them as a couple, and how God has blessed so many of us. You look around, none of us are wanting for anything. And I like that. I just love people, and she loves people, and that would be Barnabas. That's it. What about that?
Do we want to do questions? Does anybody have any questions for Stephen with a V?
See, you love you.
Did you skip a question?
Huh?
Did you skip a question?
He did, but it'll be all right.
Yes!
It'll be all right.
Thank you.
Huh?
Hey, Steve, I got a question. I got a question for you.
Yes.
You know, when you talked about the church and its worship, and it's, you know, everyone having different styles from where they came from.
Yeah.
And bringing that to where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you noticed this morning, I'm sure all of us did, how spontaneous was the Spirit, along with those two boys that were singing with Anthony. But then, not only that, when they came back down, then, you know, I don't know what you're pointing at me for.
Yeah. Yeah. He got him sung.
And then, that's right, Steve, you did sing. I'm sorry, brother.
That's all right.
But when everybody kicked in,
yeah.
When, you know, the song that he let us in, what's that?
The extra chorus. Mm-hmm.
The extra chorus.
That was powerful.
Days of Elijah.
Yes, that was powerful.
You could, if you couldn't feel the Spirit in here, you need to go to your doctor and get some type of shot because you're missing something.
Right, right, right.
But, Madison got a groove back.
That's what it was.
I texted the boys because they were watching. And they're like, man, that was good. I said, Madison got her groove back.
Yeah. But that's it.
Yeah.
This one, all right? Check two. Steve, we appreciate it on the cuff, too.
Absolutely.
He got the questions this morning at 10:30 and fired away at 10:31.
Yeah. Well, I better because I think Chris was going to give me.
We appreciate it. Okay, let's do our prayer list. Anybody have anything?
Mark.
Yep. Ms. Carol. Yep. Margaret. Okay. Kevin. Arizona, right? Yes, ma'am. All right. Okay. Teresa? Miss Cheryl? All right. Okay. All right, anybody else? Anything else? All right. Wow. She's doing a double. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for another opportunity that we have had, dear Lord, to come together. Dear Lord, we thank you for Brother Steve and Miss April and what they mean to us, dear Lord. And we understand how daunting of a task Steve reluctantly decided to do. But thank you, Lord, that he did. And dear Lord, help us as sheep to try to be kind to them shepherds, because all they're trying to do, dear Lord, is the right thing, which is your will. Dear Lord, we have some names we want to continue to lift up. We're mindful of Mark as he struggles with cancer. Miss Carol Bellis, goodness gracious, we lift her and we lift Don up, dear Lord. Be with Miss Carol and be with the family. Margaret Wall, and we lift up Cheryl, eye surgery. We lift up Emily, who has got at 36 years old, is facing something, dear Lord, that she shouldn't have to, but she is. So, dear Lord, we pray that you be with her and be with her family. And, dear Lord, we want to lift up Steve's family. We pray, dear Lord, that you cover them kiddos. Keep them safe, dear Lord. And we pray that whatever reconciliation needs to happen, dear Lord, internally in that family when they head out to Arizona, dear Lord, we pray that you watch over that. And we pray, dear Lord, your will be done, not necessarily ours, not Steve's, not anybody in the family, dear Lord, but your will. And dear Lord, like Steve mentioned, if something needs to happen, boom, he's on that plane. Just be with that family. Dear Lord, we ask that you help us be better people today than we were yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen.